Good morning. To the Reverend Professor Walton, my friend, and I must say Morehouse brother, to the ministerial staff, members, visitors, friends of this historic institution, thank you so much for allowing me to share a few thoughts and a few words with you this morning. It is both a privilege and an honor to stand in this pulpit. I take my text this morning from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. If you care to follow along, it's on page 229 in your pew Bibles. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, but all the translations are very similar. That's 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 through 10. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And here the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." I shall speak to you for the next few minutes from the topic, "Answer the Call." Answer the Call. In this passage, we find the young child Samuel ministering to an aging Eli. In our mind's eye, we might imagine young Samuel, after a hard day's work, exhausted in body and spirit, and desperately in need of sleep. He is awakened from his peaceful slumber with a voice crying, "Samuel, Samuel." He rushes to Eli's bedside only to be told that Eli had not called him. A couple of hours passed by, I imagine. Samuel now in a deep and rejuvenative sleep. Again he hears, "Samuel, Samuel." I can only imagine that Samuel must have felt like my spouse Stephanie and I felt when our now three-year-old was in his first year of life. All of you who've ever had children, you know what I'm talking about. Just when you fall into a good sleep, the baby calls, "Wah, wah." And you have to drag your already sleep-deprived self out of bed. I imagine Samuel must have felt similar to this. He was tired, but it was his duty to tend to Eli. So he dragged himself out of bed and dutifully went to Eli's side. To his dismay, Eli said, "Go back to bed, for I did not call you." But that was not the last time Samuel heard the voice. So to keep with my baby analogy, imagine it's now 4:45 a.m. and baby wakes up. Yet again, you've got to get up at 6 anyway to go to work, and you know by the time you feed, change, and get the baby back to sleep, well, you may as well just stay up, right? Mommy and daddy will get no sleep that night. This may be, I imagine, how Samuel felt this third time. He was absolutely exhausted. He may have even been annoyed at this point. He storms into Eli's room and asks, "Why, Eli, do you keep calling me?" But this time, Eli says, "It's not I, but God who is calling you. Just listen, my son, just listen." So later that night, Samuel heard the now familiar call, "Samuel, Samuel." And this time, without hesitation or pause, Samuel got up and said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Now, most scholars agree that both 1 and 2 Samuel were written around 900 BC. That's about 3,000 years ago. Isn't it amazing how words written to a mainly pre-literate, pre-modern world 3,000 years ago can speak so clearly to us in post-modernity? The scripture has a way of reaching across generations to teach, guide, and communicate with us in a voice as clear to us today as it was to the ancients in antiquity. But I want to focus right now on what might not be so obvious a lesson from the text. In rabbinical literature, Samuel was recorded as the last of the Hebrew judges. And we all know the story of Samuel. He is regarded as the first of the major prophets. History even records Samuel as having anointed the first two kings of the kingdom of Israel. Indeed, Deuteronomic historians regard Samuel as an extension of Moses, as a prophet, judge, and priest. But Samuel was not born a full-grown prophet, priest, or judge. Indeed, the scripture I read, we meet Samuel as a mere boy, not a great and powerful prophet. My point here is simple. Samuel did not become a great prophet by magic. He had to mature. He had to grow. And when the boy Samuel, when the child Samuel, was confronted with the most important decision of his young life, whether to answer God's call, it was Eli, an elder, a mentor, who helped the young Samuel make sense of the voice that he heard. You see, Eli was old and infirm. He too was in need of sleep. He was disturbed by Samuel's interruption. He could have easily rebuffed young Samuel. He could have said, "I am asleep. Leave me alone. I didn't call you. Don't know, don't care who did. Go back to sleep." But instead, Eli shared his wisdom, insight, and acumen with young Samuel. Eli gave Samuel the advice, planted the seed which ultimately led Samuel to listen to God's call. You see, sometimes God puts you in other people's lives. Sometimes your divine purpose is to mold others to work in God's service. In the book of Samuel, we often, quite reasonably, focus on Samuel. But let's not forget about old Eli. Memorial Church, God may be telling us that we need to be somebody's Eli. I look out there, and many of you I know, there are so many marvelously successful people in this congregation. But I know that each of you as well had an Eli, somebody who extended a helping hand, somebody who offered you that first job, somebody who vouched for you when you got that first promotion, somebody who helped you out with your first down payment, somebody who prayed with you when times were tough, somebody was your Eli. Ralph Waldo Emerson, in his classic 1850 volume called Representative Men, puts it a different way. Emerson studied how great citizens like Plato, Swedenborg, Montaigne, Shakespeare, Napoleon, and Goethe become resources for the art of living. Emerson said of these great persons, and I quote, they are, quote, but an exhibition in some quarter of new possibilities. My dear friend and Princeton religious scholar Eddie Glaude translates Emerson into a more modern parlance. And in Glaude's words, he says Emerson is trying to tell us that great people exist so that even greater people may exist. Great people exist so that even greater people may exist. Eli was put there to help produce a Samuel. Now, bear with me for a moment. Let's do what we do in legal scholarship. Let's engage in a brief counterfactual. If Eli had not counseled Samuel, Samuel may never have answered God's call. And imagine, if you would, a world without the prophet Samuel. A young David may never have been inspired to have faith against all odds in standing up and facing his Goliath. Without David's faith and bravery, Samuel would not have appointed him king. With no King David, religious history may be remarkably different than that what we know today. Now, I could go on and on with other examples, but you get the point. Everybody who does good work in this world stands on the shoulders of someone else. No one goes it alone. Everybody has an Eli who directly or indirectly paved the way. It may be your divine purpose to be an Eli. Often we get caught up in the glitz and glamour of being a Samuel, the stars of the Bible. But being an Eli is a noble calling. Now let me wrap up these brief remarks with a conventional read of 1 Samuel. The text instructs us across centuries to listen. Listen. To just take a moment and listen. Sometimes God is calling us like he did the young Samuel, and we don't even know it. Samuel was too caught up in the phenomenal world to realize that God, not man, but God was calling him. Too often, we miss our call. We don't realize that God is calling us to service. Our Bible tells us time and time again that all we have to do is listen, and God will make a way. Remember old Pharaoh. After Moses said, "Let my people go," old Pharaoh had a change of heart. He sent out a decree to kill everyone who left with Moses. But God had God's own decree and said, "If my people listen to me, then I'll part the Red Sea. If my people listen to me, you don't need weapons. I'll deliver you from bondage. If my people listen to me, I'll destroy Pharaoh such that no harm will befall you." And God gives us the exact same message today. I submit to you that God is saying to us today, if my people just listen to me, I'll cure this AIDS epidemic. If my people listen to me, I'll improve so many of our fellows' miserable health care. If my people listen to me, I'll destroy the prison industrial complex, the new Jim Crow that is enslaving so many of our young black brothers and sisters. If my people listen to me, God says that I will send down a battalion of angels to stand with you in rescuing the souls of the damned. If my people will only listen to me, you will experience heaven on earth. God is calling. Answer the call. God has a purpose for our lives. Philosophers call this sort of purpose teleology, the notion that everything and everyone has a so-called final cause, a design or a purpose. But in Christian theology, this idea springs from an understanding of the nature of God in man. The nature of God in man. Each one of us in here and each one of us out there is precious, important, valuable, and gifted in God's sight. The scripture says that God created us in God's own image and likeness. That means when I see you, I see God. That means when I am kind to you, then I am kind to God. When I am respectful of you, I am respectful of God. And most important, as the pastor said, when I serve you, I am serving God. So whatever God calls you to do at this particular moment in history, do it with all your heart and soul. Memorial Church, whether your lot in life is to be an Eli or a Samuel, just answer God's call. When any one of God's children is suffering, answer the call. When a child needs guidance, tutoring, or just a loving hand, answer the call. When your marriage is in distress, don't clam up, grow apart, and fall out of love. Fix it. Answer the call. My beloved, when your community is in distress, don't fall prey to the anesthetizing security of your good job. Be an agent for social and economic change. Answer the call. When the ugly face of mindless bigotry threatens to disfigure the face of our community, don't stand mute. Follow Samuel's example. Get up and answer the call. When a family or loved one seems destined to totter beneath the crippling weight of addiction, follow Samuel's example. Get up. Answer the call. When you know in your heart of hearts that your outward sanctimony is masked by an inward impiety, get up, dust off your knees, pray, answer God's call. When you see right here in Cambridge, in the shadow of Harvard University, the marriage of poverty and undereducation slowly producing a permanent underclass, get up like the boy Samuel and answer God's call. Insist that educational funding is fair and equitable. Volunteer your time and talent. These problems will not rectify themselves under the efficacy of mere desire. They take work, hard work. Answer the call. Sometimes God may call you into difficult service. Sometimes it may be painful. But that pain, my beloved, may be transformative in the lives of others. Memorial Church, the gospel that I know articulates a simple message. When God calls you to service, get up and, like Samuel, just say, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Amen.